This is the Midday 180, queued up by Angeli's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Midday 180, queued up by Angeli's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Just like that, Paul, look at the time. Final hour is here on this Wednesday. Just flew by. We've got another hour. We're not leaving. Jam-packed hour with Jonathan Joseph about to join us, new Titans Corner. Also, primary complaint just around the corner, and you can join us. It's coming up around 1:20. You can air your top grievance of the week. It's primary complaint happening this hour. I know Paul and I are ready to go on this. Looking forward to it. Hope you'll join us. In just a moment, we'll talk with Jonathan Joseph. Angeli's excited to announce they're planning to open their East Nashville location on Monday, June 1st. It's been a tough for them to get through the tornado damage and the pandemic, like many businesses, but they're getting back into the swing of things. You can smell the brisket now over on East Nashville location. You can taste it now, 12 South and in Sylvan Park. But I say all that to say they're hiring at their East Nashville location. If you're interested, if you know someone who would be interested, help us spread the word. AngeliesBBQ.com/jobs, AngeliesBBQ.com/jobs, or you can swing by the Sylvan Park location and you can apply in person. It's great news. We're excited to see Angeli's returning to the East Side. And it's great news, Paul, for Will and Catherine Newman, who are finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel with these businesses that they own downtown.
They've been busting it. And we hope we've helped some. I know I've eaten my share of the brisket lasagna, which is fantastic. Can't recommend it highly enough. Great food, great people. Check them out if you haven't, and if you have, keep going. And I'm excited to hear that they're doing some hiring. I'm excited to hear that anybody's doing some hiring.
Yep, it's great. I was talking with Will the other day about that. They are pumped to get back and ready to go. And I believe once everyone's allowed to actually do something downtown, we're going to be on the rooftop of Poncho and Lefty's as a show and a Midday 180 night out.
Absolutely.
We've done that before. We'll fly our flag there again. And who knows? Maybe it's prior to a Preds game.
That's figuratively because we lost our flag.
Oh, we did. New Titans quarterback Jonathan Joseph. He's entering his 15th NFL season. And after 9 years in Houston, he left the Texans as the franchise leader in interceptions, pick sixes, and passes defensed. And the new Titans corner joins us now. Jonathan, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, man. Doing very well. I was thinking this morning about how you're joining a team during an offseason where you can't do anything at the team facility. But then I realized that you signed with the Texans in 2011, and that was the offseason with the lockout, and that prevented you from doing the same thing then that you would be doing now. Does it feel similar?
Not really, because I guess back then I was younger, so I didn't really have an understanding of what was going on. I was just all over the place, trying to do a new team, you know, just kind of get my life in order, my family together and things like that. And then we didn't have no meetings, like the Zoom meetings and things. It was more so orchestrated workouts. You know, we got a group of guys, you met up either in your city or another city, and you kind of did workouts and did things like that. And I was a free agent, which I was pending at the time, so, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be looking. Signed with Cincinnati back, but not. So I didn't have, I was kind of humble. So I was kind of doing my own thing, just staying in shape. And then, you know, once the phone call was made and lockout was over, things kind of picked up at a fast rate to where I actually, the day that I signed, I never was back in that same house ever again. You know, so it's kind of one of those situations.
What's the plan for getting up here? Or are you still completely on hold in terms of knowing about relocating?
I think once, you know, I get a final word on when things are reopened, when we can come into the facilities and things like that, I think then I'll kind of make a transition to, you know, finding me a place. I've been online looking at things and talking to guys, trying to figure out what's the best fit for me and understanding the city a little bit, you know, where I need to drive, what's the distance from here to practice, you know, the game day facilities and things like that. So but just more so asking questions. Obviously, you know, getting to the city and learning that, I have to do that on my own. You know, just driving around a few times on my off time, things like that.
Jonathan Joseph with us on the Midday 180. You've already experienced Vrabel as a defensive play caller. What was your takeaway from that season? And if we are, I don't know what's expected here, if he's calling plays or not, but if he does, what are you expecting to see?
Oh, he's very detailed. I think the best thing about him, he got a feel for the game. You know, been playing for so long, playing at a high level throughout his career, just having that knowledge. I think he's able to get, you know, players to perform. Guys play relentless, you know, going after the ball, trying to create turnovers. And I think I'm just bringing that tenacity and energy. And he brings that same, you know, when I was with him, he brought that same, you know, energy to the practice field each and every day and it rubbed off on the guys. And it was just the mentality of the defensive mindset. And I think it'll be no different, you know, with him being the head coach of the team. Obviously, you know, he has to look over the offense, defense, and special teams. But with them helping out on defense, it'll be the same mentality for sure.
How about Anthony Midgett? We don't know that much about him. We haven't gotten to talk to him yet. Obviously, with him coming in and everything taking off the way it has with coronavirus. Kerry Combs, who was here as the defensive backs coach since Vrabel's been here, an enormously popular and energetic guy, had a lot of the qualities you just listed for Vrabel. Tell us a little bit about the new defensive backs coach who also came from the Texans.
Oh, yeah. I think Anthony made the same way. I think, you know, he played a year or two in the league, so he understands what it's like to be a player in this league. So I think, you know, building that relationship with the guys in the room. And then I think, you know, throughout the week, you're going to be able to develop guys, build that trust where guys can trust you from a player-coach relationship. And, you know, having guys just being accountable. So I think, you know, that's the thing he's going to bring. Obviously, being with him for the past 5-6 years, I've seen him grow, you know, tremendously from a standpoint of just coming into the National Football League as a coach to where he's at now. And I think another time you have a chance to get, you know, in another defensive team, you learn even more. So I think it'll be big for him, and it'll be big for the room. I'm excited to be back with him, so I'm just looking forward.
Jonathan Joseph, our guest. Sometimes, Jonathan, the terminology can take longer to catch up to than the technique. In your talks, do you expect the terminology to carry over for you too in some ways and allow you to come in and play faster?
It's somewhat, but not really the same. I think it's more so for me. I just kind of learned the playbook and just get up to speed the way those guys communicate and say things. I think when you got down the field, you know, if it's cover two, cover three, cover four, there's only so many ways to play those things and man-to-man. So I think they'll take care of themselves when you get those field repetitions. But I think for me, I just want to be up to speed and up to par with the rest of those guys on the way they communicate. You know, the verbs that they use, it all can mean the same thing, but it can just be one word to change things, you know, from a different system. So for me, it's more so about, you know, writing down notes and just rewriting those notes over and over again until I get a picture in my head to where I can just spit it out rapidly with those guys where everybody's on the same page to play fast and certain things like that. So anytime you're coming into a new team, whether you're just coming back into a new playbook or whatever, you don't want to be that one guy to where, you know, you call on in the meet, you don't know your assignment, what you're supposed to do.
We enjoy talking matchups on the show. Whenever you signed here, we were immediately discussing where we might see you. Are you good with slot corner? I know you've covered in the slot throughout your career, but for the discussion of sub package pressures and everything that goes into that spot, can you play inside?
I'm gonna be ready for whatever job, you know, they have for me. You know, haven't really gotten to those type of conversations. I think right now it's just about, you know, getting into the groove of things, getting guys, you know, into the new playbook, and, you know, once guys get the feel, I'm sure they have a plan, but, you know, that's not up for me to go and lobby for anything. It's my job to come in and be on top of the playbook, and, you know, whatever that's for me, it's my job right now while I'm away from that to get my body in shape and my body prepared for whatever's going to come my way.
Can you jump into a locker room and immediately be the leader, one of the go-to players with that group, and how much have you talked with your teammates?
Yeah, they talk a lot in the meetings. You know, I think Kevin, Kenny, those guys, Malcolm Butler, those guys did a great job of talking and leading. You know, obviously, you know, the more voices you have, you know, is always the better. You know, I'm not coming here to step on anybody's toes or anything like that. My job is if guys have questions or if it's somewhere I can step in and help out, something that I can see or point out, or it can be something that they can help me with also. You know, so it's not like, you know, just because I'm the older guy, I'm coming in and my word is final say or this way or that way. I think it's open communication. You know, I see a guy taking a false step here and there. It's my place, you know, it's his teammate, and the veteran guy can come in and tell him the right way or correct him. And it's no different if I was out there and they seen something, because we all have to be each other's set of eyes when we're out there playing on the field.
Jonathan Joseph, our guest of the Midday 180.
How recently have you talked to your buddy Jadeveon Clowney? And what do you think his timetable is to get back in the league? What do you think the chances are it's here?
Honestly, I have no idea. We haven't even really talked back about it because, you know, the previous three or four times, you know, we talked about it, it was always still the kind of same thing in the same spot. So I just kind of left it alone because, you know, like I said before, you know, it's a big decision the guy got to make, and you don't want to kind of alter that decision or, you know, hinder him in any way, form, or fashion. You know, like I said before, if you ask me a question about how I feel about some of my input, I'm always there for you to give him the insight to the utmost degree. But at the same time, I cannot be the guy to push him one way or another, regardless of how much I think it may impact me or it may, you know, help the team or things like that. You know, you have to just, you know, be truthful in those regards.
Jonathan, you've been described by those who've watched your career up close as a hardworking leader on and off the field. And some past players would tell us a hard work ethic, it isn't learned, it's inherited. Do you think you inherited that mentality from your father? I know he worked at a mill for one of his jobs and called in sick only once in 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think over time, you know, I've never seen my dad ever complain about work. You know, whether he coming in working, you know, the third shift, second shift, coming in at 12 midnight, but, you know, me and him getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, going fishing, him coming back in, taking a nap, getting prepared to go to work, you know, him having aneurysm, coming back, you know, immediately from that, getting right back into work, and just never complaining, you know, learning how to take care of his family and all those things. And I think just seeing him do that throughout, you know, the course of his life, it just rubbed off on me, you know, each and every day, just the small things, you know, being to work on time, being accountable. You know, doing your job. He always told me, young, you know, work as if you was getting paid $2 and you get paid $1, and somebody eventually noticed. You know, so all those type of things just stuck with me throughout my time. And, you know, I don't know if that's for my longevity or not, but I just try to bring that same mentality to work each and every day.
And someone described you and they said, here's a guy who is great with time management for his kids. He's making a point to do that for his own kids because that's what his dad did for him. I know your son, one of your three children, he's playing high school football in North Carolina this upcoming fall. Flights in and out of Nashville to Charlotte are pretty easy to make. Do you plan on going to watch him play on Friday nights?
Absolutely. You know, I don't know how I'm going to wing it, you know, as of right now with the schedule and things like that, but, you know, it's 2020. There's several ways to get around things, but I definitely wouldn't jeopardize anything with my team first and foremost. But I'm definitely looking forward to making that happen, you know, a quick flight in, quick flight right back out, you know, because it means a lot for me, and I know it definitely means a lot for him also.
Did you really think that your career was over due to turf toe in 2013?
Oh, yeah, 100%. If you was around me just to see the things, like, you know, having a locker, the bottom of my locker being filled with, you know, 15, 20 different pairs of shoes, I couldn't find nothing comfortable to fit in a shoe. And then the time coming back from that one, my right one flared up, and I basically missed the whole training camp. I didn't practice again until week one when they finally found a way to do the right injection. Well, not the right injection, but found an injection that would work for my toe to kind of ease the pain and get things moving in the right direction after having that surgery. So it was a long process. It was one of those things to where I wasn't comfortable for a long time, a real long time. But, you know, I played never, you know, I never missed games about it, never just played through it. And to the common eye, people probably never thought I was affected by it. But at the end of the day, it is one of those mental things I had to get over.
And now 7 years later, here you are signing your third free agent deal. I know you've signed some extensions with Houston and other things like that, but your third team. And if you were thinking that in 2013, I'm sure you did not think I'll be playing in Nashville in 2020.
Oh, no, not at all. And then it was funny, you know, because once I got over that hump, you know, everything kind of smoothed itself out. I've been able to stay, you know, for the most part, relatively healthy. And that was one of those things. So it was kind of weird. I wore a different cleat and then went out there and tried on a cleat. And for sure, when I tried on that different cleat, like week 12 or 13 throughout the year, whatever week that was that year, within the third play of the game, just planning and driving, it just popped. So, you know, in my head, anytime I won't say their name, but they don't even really make, you know, anytime I even put that cleat on at times now, sometimes in my head, I just feel my toe just from a mental standpoint. So, you know, I'm glad just to be over that hump, you know, throughout my career where I'm able to just go out and play and relax.
What was your view of A.J. Brown last year and your impressions from the other side of a guy that you're now going to cover some in practice and work with?
Say again. Sorry.
was curious about your view of AJ Brown on the Titans last year from across the sideline and on the field opposite him, a guy you're going to work with this year and who the Titans are hoping gets even better.
I think he's a real talented kid. I think came on strong as a rookie and finished strong. You see a lot of guys as rookies tail off. I think he's able to push through and fight through it, even though, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get a name for yourself or you start to see some attention, guys catch on, so the coverage and things start to fade your way. You see a little more attention from, you know, the way teams roll the coverage to you. I think, you know, the young kid, he's able to fight through all those things as a rookie. And I think, you know, I talked to him several times throughout the game, after the game, and gave him my advice and opinions on things. I think, you know, he can better himself throughout his career. And I think going into his second year should be big for him. Anytime you have a second year as a receiver, you should be able to grow just because you learn so much.
Jonathan Joseph has been our guest. Hey, final thing for you. On the conference call last week with media, you told them that you estimate that you've dropped throughout your career 30 to 35 picks. Which one bugs you the most? Which play do you want back the most?
Playing against the Patriots probably 2 or 3 years ago. We was in goal line defense, I think, or big defense or something. They ran a play through the back of the end zone with Martellus Bennett, and Tom Brady threw it to Martellus Bennett. I undercut it. I'd have ran it back for 108-yard interception return. Two hands on the ball. Did
he say anything to you after the game about that drop?
Nah, that one or my first time back in Cincinnati, I already had an interception, and I knew they was going to run ram route in the goal line, and they ran ram route, and when they ran it, I don't know if I couldn't believe it or not, but Andy Dalton threw the ball right into my chest, and it would have been 102 interception return on the sideline my first season back against Cincinnati. But the list just goes on and on.
Hey, man, we're excited to once everything wraps up and we can get back in studio or back out and cover practice again. Excited to see in person, say hello, and we appreciate the visit via phone today.
No problem. Looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right. New Titans Corner. Jonathan Joseph has been our guest. He is much better friends with Jadeveon Clowney than what he said recently with all that. They're from the same hometown, went to the same college, and then played together in Houston. They're close.
And he's leaving him alone.
Yes.
Now.
And if he's not leaving him alone, he's leaving the topic alone for discussion with us. Overall, good chat there. Time for primary complaint, Paul. That's on deck, and we welcome the phone calls. We open up the phone line, 615-737-1045, our number. Air your top grievance with us. We're ready.
Let's do it.
Midday 180. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Glad you're listening to 104.5 The Zone this afternoon. Big thanks to Jonathan Joseph for joining us to kick off the hour. And it's about that time to kick off primary complaint. We welcome your primary complaints at 615-737-1045, our number. As we look at the lines, Paul, we have four available. We need to load them up.
Bring it. And on Twitter as well, which we shall monitor.
And if you need some inspiration, we're about to give it to you. It's primary complaint presented by the Dr. Gill Center. And you've heard me mention them over the years. They do great work, and they've been a part of primary complaint for several years. But not because you're going to complain about what they do. You're going to stop complaining about your pain. You need to call the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center, 615-794-0800, 794-0800. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. It's time for Primary Complaint.
It's too cold outside. People in Nashville can't drive. Tickets are too expensive. My feet hurt. My favorite team blows. This is my primary complaint with a Midday 180.
My primary complaint, guys. Most of the younger crowd prefers Instagram over Twitter by a wide margin, and the older crowd leans Facebook. Here's how I know I'm stuck in between those demographics. I prefer Twitter in a landslide, and here's why. Instagram and Facebook, they frustrate me in that they do not have a see most recent order of posts option. They seem to think they know better than I do on what I want to see and when. And if you shut off your phone for more than a couple of minutes, you can't pick back up where you left off in your scroll. It's automatically going to refresh back to the top of whatever the company wants you to see. Twitter, it stays right where I left it, no matter how long I've been logged off of the app. And I can also choose a home tab if I want them to determine what I need to see. Instagram, Facebook, just give me that option. That's my primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
There is, by the way, Hutton, on Facebook, at least on your phone, you can find a show most recent or go in order thing.
I have not found that. You need to show me how to do that.
Yeah, I haven't found it either. And the fact that they want to tell me what the most relevant comments on a post are, so just show me all the comments.
Show me all the damn comments.
Yeah. Let me determine what's relevant. So what's been most relevant in all of our lives for about 3 months now has been COVID-19 and the pandemic. And it's really starting to wear on me in a lot of ways, but mostly the lexicon that has been given birth to over the course of this pandemic. Look, there's no such thing as a new normal. If it's new, it's not normal. If it's normal, it's not new. And stop saying that you've been quarantined. Unless you've been sick, you have not been quarantined. Only sick people are quarantined. That's my primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
I've been guilty of saying quarantine on the show because I lose track of thought on what I need to describe it as, which is social distancing for the show. I just say the show has been quarantined. We're not allowed to step foot into that studio. Our studio is quarantined, Reed.
No, it's not.
So, my primary complaint is the unemployment claim process, but more specifically than that. And look, I think I'm getting money for the furlough weeks. I should be getting money for the furlough weeks. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm not grateful for the process, which is bureaucracy at its finest. And it's created to discourage you from doing it and for giving up. But so I got a message last night. I was up late. I couldn't fall asleep. I flipped by my emails. I had something telling me to go look. So it doesn't tell me if I'm getting my claim. It tells me to go look. There's news about my claim. And then today before the show, I went on the site that it told me to go look. And I go look. And it says, Tennessee unemployment claim status. Paul Kuharsky claim date, 5/10/2020. Unemployment claim status. There's a big fancy graphic. Decision made. Current status. Decision made. Your claim has either been approved or denied. This is the news. Okay? So I got an email telling me there's news. Then I go to this thing, and the news is, my claim has either been approved or denied. It doesn't tell me if it's been approved or denied. It tells me if it's approved, there will be money in my bank account. And if it's not, there won't, and I can appeal it. Why can't it say on this page if it's been approved or denied? Like, the process is now concluded, right? All the complicated stuff is over. So, da-da-da, give me the news. Now I have to go look in the bank account to see if there's money there. That's how you find out if you've got money or not. They can't simply give you a green thing or a red thing. It seems absolutely ridiculous to me, and I think it's more than worthy of a primary, secondary, tertiary, and on complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain. And, complain.
And people counting on that money a lot more than me. Getting to that stage where they feel like they're finally going to know, and they get a thing that says, yes, a decision has been made.
737-1045, our number.
Sorry, that's like getting a college envelope, like on your acceptance, and saying, yes, we've decided whether you're in college or not. Now, take these steps to find out.
Well, I've heard nothing but complaints about how, you know, bombarded that site has been. They couldn't handle the traffic. And then to combat that, they send an email that makes you go to the site to add traffic. They give you actually no news. It's an either or scenario. Primary complaint presented by the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center. You can call them at 615-794-0800, 794-0800. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. Your primary complaint next. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Edley's Barbecue is excited to announce they're planning to open their East Nashville location on Monday, June 1st. It's been tough to get through tornado damage and the pandemic, but they're getting back into the swing of things at their East Nashville location very soon. Edley's is actively hiring for this location as well as their other spots. If you're interested in joining the Edley's Barbecue family, Will and Catherine, the owners, awesome. Visit edleysbbq.com/jobs or visit their Sylvan Park location this week to apply in person. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Primary complaint rolls on with you now at 615-737-1045, our number. Primary complaint presented by the Dr. Gill Center. We go to Joey to lead us off on the phones. Joey, welcome in.
All right. Hey, guys. So yesterday, my occupational therapist come up, and somehow we got on the subject of county lines. Do not argue with me and try to tell me that I-65 splits Sumner and Robertson County, because it does not. 31W all the way from Kentucky all the way to Millersville splits Sumner from Robertson County. So don't argue with me when I know what I'm talking about, because I've lived here for 20 years. Y'all have a good one, boys.
Yep, thank you, Joey. Paul, did you know, I was reading this randomly last week, at one time, I believe I'm getting this county line discussion going, sparked this. I believe at one time there was a toll that you had to pay to get from Davidson County to Williamson County.
Wow.
A long time ago.
What were the two counties he was talking? Sumner and Robertson?
Robertson, yeah.
Those are both real.
They are in fact real. Paul wins Lenape Kakua directional game of the week.
I'm familiar with both of those counties. I think because of Little League Baseball.
Reed, is this Cheeseburger Evan or regular Aaron or Evan?
No, this is a very, very, very regular Evan.
Regular Evan. Evan, welcome.
Hey, guys. Sorry to disappoint not being cheeseburgers. My primary complaint is for my aunt, who has always been very anti-government intervention when it comes to her personal affairs. She even rallies to the point where socialism is a step away from communism. Well, she recently just bought herself a nice new bedroom wardrobe with her stimulus check and is not aware that she participated in a socialist program with the stimulus check. So my aunt and her ignorance have to be my primary complaint for today.
Thank you, Evan. Regular Evan. Call
Does
anytime.
Regular Evan try to tell her where this stimulus money came from?
Of course not.
Well, it got me thinking, could you refuse the stimulus money? Because to me, it was kind of like, you remember a couple of years back, maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, where we all got force-fed a YouTube album on our iPhones
yes.
that we could not
it
get rid of?
It still plays when my wife's phone connects to Bluetooth in her car. She doesn't have much on iTunes at all. She's a Spotify person. And so generally, we're playing Spotify. But somehow it defaults to Apple, and that U2 album starts playing. That U2 album starts playing by default most of the time.
Yeah, so the stimulus checks just showed up in your account. I don't know if you could decline them or not. I mean, if you really wanted to be very principled in the situation, I'm sure there's a way you could have returned
it to the U.S. Treasury.
You could have returned it to the Treasury Department, but it's a lot like that U2 album.
You can't. U2 album, I don't think you could give back. You could delete, but I don't think you could send it back to Bono.
I'd like to prepay my taxes, please. I'm going to send this back to you.
Did that thing backfire or what? Because you might not have liked U2, but I don't know how many people hated U2.
No, I don't think many people
who got
them.
That album, who did not want it, then hated U2 for that. I think that was one of the bigger promotional backfirings of our lifetime.
I think the smart play would have been to release one of those songs as a single, get it going within the fervor of U2 fans and just music in general. And then once it's a hit, give the rest of the album to you for free on a random Wednesday night while you're asleep. Like, then you're okay with it being on your phone because you like at least one of the songs. This is force-fed to everybody.
I think
before you even
had
knew.
To be an opt-in. You can't put something on my phone that I don't want. That's like a thing where you give me an app that I don't want. It would be the equivalent. I just think it's very invasive to put something on my phone that I don't ask for. I like you too. That wasn't a good album, but I mean.
Well, you elected to put iTunes on
your. I want a Springsteen album to be put on my phone without me asking for it to be put on my phone.
I'm going to search just to see if I still have that. I have not thought about this in years.
But you would have had to have gone through the effort of throwing it away. So I think. I bet you a vast majority of people with iTunes have it.
It was much like the unemployment process, which is the most government thing ever. That was a very convoluted process to get it off of your phone.
Well, it's not easy. It's opting out of some stuff is hard.
Another conspiracy theory for you, and I'm doing this tongue in cheek. That album. Help slow down the battery life of your phone.
Right. Here you were going there.
It did, because every time I looked at my phone, that thing would start playing.
Let's go to Catfish Jake. Jake, welcome, man. Good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, boys. Good to be listening to you again. We've been kind of crazy busy, haven't been able to hear you. So, it's funny. I'm in the truck with Craig Campbell and my best friend, Jason. And I didn't have a primary complaint, but my best friend's in law enforcement. And I was like, dude, give me a primary complaint real quick. And he said, all right, I got one for you. Stop telling people in law enforcement donut jokes. His primary complaint is everybody's got a donut joke for somebody in law enforcement. So
counter for that. Stop being in the donut store every time I'm there.
Well, he's not necessarily a cop to say he's in law enforcement. So just walking up to some random law enforcement officer and telling them a donut joke, they've probably heard it. And they're not going to give you any kind of leeway if you tell them donut jokes.
What are you doing with Craig Campbell?
I'm doing some stuff with him, trying to find a hot tub or something personally. But what we're doing with Craig Campbell coming up here soon, we figured out a way to raise some money. Craig's a great dude. We're gonna find a place to set up shop, and we're gonna Catfish and Friends, the 3rd year anniversary of the Instrument of Crime idiotic incident is May the 29th. We're going to do a virtual event, probably Facebook Live, things like that. We'll put some stuff out there. But Craig's going to sing and probably going to drink a beer or two. His new song was all my friends drink beer, so we'll probably have to drink a beer or two. But we're going to try to get together and get a bunch of people to tell the story of what they were doing when the fish hit the ice, whether you liked it, didn't like it, why you did, why you didn't, and just try to raise awareness and try to raise money so we can help kick cancer's ass and dominate this man of the year.
Love that. What's the website?
The website for the LA, it's you can find mine on my Instagram and Twitter account. Yeah, we don't have the site, the details up for May 29th. Just be on the lookout for that. They'll be coming up soon. It'll be a Friday night, May 29th. Catfish and Friends hanging out, having a good time, trying to raise money to kick cancer's ass. And I appreciate everything you do, Hutton and Paul. You guys for helping us out. Appreciate that.
Hang with us 1 second because I want Reed to tell you what he's done at the building. He speaking of the Instrument of Crime, Jake gifted the show the actual court documents where he was arrested and charged with an Instrument of Crime. You, Reed, what did you do with that over the week?
So it was just this morning that I had a chance to do it. So I spent a little time after I got off yesterday trying to clean up the studio in hopes of someday returning to this studio. And I found the complaint and the other court documents, so I finally have them up on our studio walls. I can look directly ahead from my booth over the dirtiest couch in the history of Davidson County and the two complaints involving Catfish Jake when Catfish Jake was born, or right there for us to enjoy for prosperity.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you guys. Love you, boys.
I think there are dirtier couches in Davidson County, I would guess.
Paul, you do not know the history of that couch.
You do not.
I can guess about the history of that couch, and I can guess about some couches in some places.
Paul, you think that couch is leather? That couch was actually cloth when it was bought.
Oh, man. Jake doing some great things. We'll tweet out the LLS fundraiser that he's doing. That will be a week from Friday is when May 29th will take place. So
props to him for doing what he can during the man of the year run here, where everyone's at home or has been at home, and he's doing what he can to raise some money for a great cause. Catfish Jake there. Zach, you'll lead us off when we come back. I think some caller crime is going to happen. He's not pleased with regular Evan. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. We have a couple more primary complaints to get to. It's been good today. Primary complaint presented by the Dr. Gill Center online, tnstemcell.com. Stop complaining about your pain and call Dr. Gill. Let's go to Zach, who's been waiting patiently. DeMarco, you are on deck. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. For regular Evan, who just called, he had a complaint. And if I understood it correctly, I just turned the radio on and caught it just in the nick of time. But it's this complaint that if you're against socialism, you shouldn't take part in this stimulus package or something that's like a socialist program. Is that what he was saying?
I think so.
Practically, I think he's and it wasn't him. He was complaining about his relative who did that.
Yes. Well, I've been hearing this a lot, but my biggest pet peeve with that, and I'll just tell you from my perspective, I own a small business, and I did not willingly take, you know, we didn't get anything with the stimulus money, but we participated in payroll protection to keep our employees on payroll. But no one willingly just stopped working. We were told not to work. Forced not to work, and if we did work, it was considered a misdemeanor crime for 7 weeks. So by golly, somebody's got to pay for that. And if the government is going to offer to pay for my trouble, and I could have made more money if I was allowed to work, I'm going to take it and keep my employees on payroll that way. And it's not a valid argument. I'm against socialism. I don't believe in it. I believe in capitalism. But if the government's going to drive a truck through my front door, they've got to pay for it. And that's my primary complaint for simple Evan.
Regular Evan. And look, we understand where you're coming from there. We laugh, though, because everyone has that one relative that harps on one thing over and over again. And then, you know, when the option is presented, he called in to complain about it. And look, for the most part, Paul, we don't complain about complaints. It's his primary complaint.
Yes,
welcome all.
I violate that rule, but that is the spirit of what we do here.
DeMarco, what's up?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Great.
Hey, look, my primary complaint is for YouTube TV, which I love it right now. Well, I love it, period. You know, I think it's the best out of all the streaming services with this unlimited storage and all that good stuff. But right now, I've been looking for a new series to watch and finally found a new series that's almost over, but not quite over. But the only problem is that every episode, not even the standard 8 minutes for a commercial, every 5 minutes, it goes, plays these ads, at least 5 ads that last 2 to 2.5 minutes apiece. I know it's like watching a regular commercial break, but it's like overkill at this point. And I fall asleep just trying to enjoy a simple series. So that's my primary complaint. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
That's how business is done.
The only one that really bugs me with that is Sirius Satellite Radio, who advertises on the fact that it's commercial free radio. And even in some of the music stations, they're playing ads. Ticks me off. Other than that, you pay a Comcast bill every month if you're a Comcast or Xfinity subscriber, DirecTV subscriber, and they're playing ads. So, I mean, to each his own on that, making some money. Now, every 5 minutes is a little much. And I thought YouTube had a setting where you could pay to not have any ads whatsoever.
You can. I'm pretty sure. Hulu, I know you can, right? There's two tiers of Hulu. I'm not a Hulu guy. But on Hulu, you can watch, like, TV shows from the networks minus commercials, you know, much like you do on Netflix. If you're watching The Office on Netflix, you're not seeing the commercials. Hulu makes you pay for that.
Been a fun show today. Eddie George, if you missed that chat, that's available. You can also hear Paul's typing during the first segment, which is still haunting David Reed's day. Doug Matthews and Greg Cosell were excellent. Jonathan Joseph on the show today earlier. We will podcast all of these and all of the show, Midday 180 on demand, midday180.com, and online, 1045thezone.com. Wherever you download your podcasts, they will be available here shortly. Tomorrow on the show, Paul, Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis will kick things off with us.
Let me guess. We have Kirby coming on for Coach Mack.
He will request that. Do you approve?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last week he made up some BS when you were out. I mean, just came out of nowhere.
Kirby doesn't know it, but he'll be on the show tomorrow. And then we have two Hall of Fame general managers on the show. Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Polian and Preds general manager David Poyle.
Not bad.
On the show on back-to-back. Polian will join us for a couple of segments at 11:15. And David Poyle at 12:15 as I check my time. Can't wait for that. It'll be a good discussion.
Solid, solid lineup yet again. Hit us, people.
Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram for the Midday Mixer. Just direct message us. We'll send you the details on how you can get in for tomorrow night's mixer presented by Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. Hit up Edley's tonight for dinner. The menu online, edleysbbq.com.
Let's mix it up. Let's not block the box. Let's lock the lock. See ya.